Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is part two, critiquing a Christian nationalism conference I attended in Texas. The conference was called The Right Response, Blueprints for Christendom 2.0, Seven Doctrines for Ruling the World. Last week I discussed this whole concept of Christian nationalism, how it's a biblical truth, even though there may be a few bad actors in the theology. Christian nationalism is really nothing new. It was the doctrine of the early church, Christianizing the Roman Empire. It was the doctrine of the Reformation. And it is the doctrine of the New Testament, that the nations and kings need to be under the authority of Christ. Political leaders do not have a carte blanche ticket from God to rule any way they please. They must submit to the law of nature, nature's God. And this is the message that the church needs to communicate to the state. But of course, the political, the academic, the media leaders in our country have so departed from Christian truth in favor of paganism that they're shocked that anyone would still believe that the state needs to be one nation under God. They will not have this man, Jesus Christ, reign over them. Matthew chapter 22. But the scriptures are clear. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Revelation 1:5. Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. So that is the Christian nationalism aspect to the Right Response Conference. And you can check out that program at this YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. That was program 296, Is Christian Nationalism the Right Response? This week, I'd like to discuss the postmillennial eschatology of those sponsoring this conference. While Christian nationalism is a solid biblical doctrine, most evangelicals would raise their eyebrows over postmillennial eschatology. I believe Christian nationalism is the right response to the moral decline in our world, but is postmillennialism also the right response? You know, of course, the leaders involved in this conference would say yes. Postmillennialism is the eschatology that inspires and motivates the church, but is it? Now, for new Christians and those outside the church, eschatology is the doctrine of end-time events. Eschatos in the Greek means the end or the last. Ology is the study of. Eschatology is the study of biblical prophecy, what the future will hold, how this world will end. Postmillennialism is the teaching that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the gospel, the nations of the world will be brought under the dominion of Christ. Not that every person on earth will have personal saving faith, but this age will end with mankind generally acknowledging the truth of Christ and submitting to his law. The point is that truth will win, and soon all the evils in this world will be brought into submission under God. As in Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, the kingdom of God grows and dominates. Matthew 13:31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Hence the interpretation is that the kingdom of heaven will grow and dominate. The millennium refers to a time mentioned in biblical prophecy where there will be an age of righteousness and peace on earth. Like the sculpture and the wall at the United Nations, which quotes Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and they will never again learn war. By the way, the UN wall leaves off the first part of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, that God will judge between the nations, and he will render decisions for many people. The UN leaves off God, and it's implied that the UN by itself will accomplish these goals, when in fact the Christian community believes from biblical prophecy that the UN itself will be a catalyst for war and global tyranny. But that's a whole other subject. The point is that the Bible speaks about a coming time of peace and righteousness on earth, which is called the millennium. Postmillennialism, post meaning after, believes that Christ will literally, physically return after the millennium is established on earth. That Christians are to establish the kingdom of God on earth for Jesus to receive. Premillennialists, which make up the majority of evangelical Christians, believe that Christ has to physically return to earth in power and in judgment in order to set up his millennial kingdom. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, hold fast until Jesus comes. Then he who overcomes, I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. In Revelation chapter 19, when the heavens open and Jesus appears, then he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And according to the book of the Revelation chapter 5, in the future, Jesus Christ will take the title deed of the earth and begin to reign and rule. Then those who Jesus has purchased from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, they will reign on the earth. Revelation 11, 17, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. In order for postmillennial theology to work, the book of the Revelation has to be interpreted as referring to the present church age rather than to the future, which is a hard slog in my estimation. Now, of course, Jesus did inaugurate his kingdom in his first coming. He is presently ruling, but it's not until the end of this age that there will be the physical manifestation of his rule and his presence on earth. So that is premillennialism. Premillennialism, Christ returns first, then the millennium. Postmillennialism, the millennium comes first, then Christ returns. There is one more position called amillennialism. Ah negates what follows. Amillennialists do not believe there will be a physical millennium on earth. Either all of those prophecies in the millennium are just fulfilled spiritually in the church, or those prophecies about the millennium refer to heaven itself. Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox theology is amillennial, so also most Reformed churches. But at the beginning of the 19th century, with the Christian community having a renewed interest in prophecy, there was a revival in the doctrine of millennialism. A literal reading of Scripture supports millennialism, which is also called heliasm. Millennium is Latin. Heliasm is Greek. It's a doctrine that after this age, there will be one more age or dispensation of God on earth. Isaiah chapter 11, the Messiah will reign. He will judge with fairness for the afflicted on earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his word. Then the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatlings together. A little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. The earliest church fathers, 1st through 3rd centuries, like Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Papias, Tertullian, all believed in a literal coming millennial kingdom of Christ on earth, where Christ will return and then rule on earth. You know, in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples asked Jesus, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they were referring to all of those Old Testament prophecies about the rule of the Messiah on earth. And Jesus didn't answer, well, there's going to be no kingdom on earth. No, Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. But by about the 5th century, with the church dominating the culture, church theologians began to believe that maybe the church, through its evangelism, will Christianize the world and bring in the millennium by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will return, rather than Christ returning and bringing in the kingdom. At that time, the church began to believe that millennialism was a crass, literal, unspiritual Jewish interpretation of Scripture. So Christendom mostly switched from premillennialism to an amillennial, somewhat postmillennial eschatology, until the 19th century when the doctrine of millennialism was revived. At this conference, Pastor Doug Wilson quibbed that the millennium is the thousand-year period of Christ's peace that Christians like to argue about. I hope you get the irony in that. Now, if you're listening to this and you have no Christian background, you might be thinking, well, what difference does this all make? This is just a lot of theological mumbo-jumbo. But even atheists and agnostics have an eschatology. While Christians believe history moves toward the point of God's redemption of the creation, the ultimate defeat of evil, atheists believe that the sun and the universe will eventually burn out and everything will end in nothingness. Kind of depressing, but that is the logical scientific conclusion. And atheists also have a short-term eschatology for America, that either America will survive, getting better and better because of more libertarian freedoms or because of bigger and better government, or America, like all the empires of the past, will become fat, lazy, bloated, and eventually collapse. All organisms get old and die. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote the following about the human experience, and I love this quote. The key to history is terrific energy is expended. Civilizations are built up. Excellent institutions are devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings a selfish and cruel people to the top, and it all slides back to misery and ruin. In fact, the machine conks. It seems to start up all right, run a few yards, and then it breaks down. Now, there are quite a few non-religious conservatives who want to hold the machine together merely for self-preservation. Here's an article from PJ Media by David Hassani. If this is Christian nationalism, sign me up. But Hassani is an atheist. But he supports Christian nationalism and Christians who maintain that rights come from God and not the state, because he knows the tyranny that will break out if rights can be given by the state or taken away by the state. He believes that there are intrinsic human rights and intrinsic morality regardless of God. Quote from the article. The Christian nationalism scare is a ginned-up partisan effort to spook non-Christian voters. And clearly, to some secular Americans, the idea that a non-earthly authority can bestow rights on humans sounds nuts. As a non-believer myself, I have been asked by Christians many times how I can square my skepticism of the Almighty with my belief in natural rights. My answer is simple. I choose to. This is the bind post-Christian America finds itself in, tweeted historian Tom Holland. It can no longer appeal to a creator as the author of its citizens' rights. So it has to pretend that these rights somehow have an inherent existence, a notion requiring no less of a leap of faith than does belief in God. Unquote. Bottom line, eschatology and Christian values matter to everyone. Ideas have consequences. Practically, what is at issue in this whole postmillennial versus premillennial debate is where does this modern world end up? Chaos and corruption? Or long term, will the world get better and better despite some cultural downturns? The conference was subtitled Blueprints for Christendom 2.0. And if you understand the theology, you'll understand the title. The teaching is that just like in the Reformation, between the 13th and the 17th century, there was a return to God and a return to biblical authority. Well, there's going to be another Reformation, Christendom 2.0. The ungodliness that we're seeing in our world right now is just another temporary downturn in an upward graph, where the outbreak of evil we're seeing in the world will eventually run its course and collapse under its own weight. The punishments built into the sin. LGBTQ, abortion, transgenderism, Marxism, godless public schools will fail. And the world will learn its lesson. And the Christian community will again pick up the pieces and show the world the right way to live. I would actually call it Christendom 3.0. First, the Roman Empire collapsed because of its own corruption. And the Christians picked up the pieces and took the lead. That was Christianity 1.0. Then Europe became corrupt, and the Church of Rome was no longer the true church. It was taken over by wolves in sheep's clothing. And then there was the Reformation, where people returned to the scriptures. That was Christendom 2.0. But now in the 20th century, with people living off of the blessings of Christianity 2.0, having taken it for granted and having turned away from God, there will be a future reversal, and that'll be Christendom 3.0. Each time the nations, mankind, learns through the school of hard knocks. But how many Christendom 0.0s will there be? 4.0, 5.0, 6.0? Maybe we should consider at some point there is going to be an apocalypse, an Armageddon. Even the premier American theologian, Jonathan Edwards, who was postmillennial, he believed that the church would soon bring about the millennium and the latter day glory of the church. But Edwards did write that at the end of the period of Christ's dominion on earth, this age would end in a great outbreak of evil. Quote from Edwards in his History of Redemption, "I now come to speak of the great apostasy there should be toward the close of this period, and how the church should for a short time be threatened by her enemies. A little before the end of the world, a great part of the world shall fall away from Christ and his church. Thus, after a happy and glorious season, such a long day of light and holiness, of love, peace, and joy, it shall again be a dark time. Satan shall begin to set up his dominion again in the world, and this world shall again become a scene of darkness and wickedness. And the Church of Christ, instead of extending to the utmost bounds of the world as it did before, shall be reduced to narrow limits." So even though Edwards was postmillennial, he still believed from Revelation chapter 20 that at the end of the millennium, the dominion of Christ on earth, Satan would be released and gather the nations together to attack the people of God. That's what the Revelation chapter 20 prophecy states. Little did Edwards know that the 20th century would be the reversal of Christendom. Now, I mention all this for our post-millennial friends to help them realize that many post-millennialists in the past still believed in an apocalyptic future, and that did not quench their motivation. Now, the theory or the theology that the current moral decline, this reign of leftism, cannot last is rational. I believe we would all admit that if Christ delays his coming for another 500 years, there's going to have to be a moral correction in the world. That is, if the world is to survive. Leftism is not sustainable. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. Like is often said, reality always slaps leftism upside the head. You know, a localized example of this would be the collapse of the Soviet Union after 70 years of communism. Marxism, economic and social Marxism, when it's fully implemented, cannot be sustained. And many sociologists foresee the collapse of the CCP. Christianity in China is growing to be a greater cultural influence and power in China than the CCP. Now, premillennialists would see the situation this way. The current outbreak of evil, this atheistic paganism, certainly will not last. It will experience a correction, but that correction will be the final apocalypse and the coming of Christ. What's happening now is what the scriptures prophesied. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there will be a great rebellion in this world at the end of the church age, the revealing of the Antichrist, before the return of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus taught that this age would end in the great tribulation, persecution against the church, then Christ would appear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God will give relief to his people when he comes in flaming fire with his mighty angels. And in the book of the Revelation, which is about the final judgments upon earth and the battle of Armageddon, this all takes place before the return of Christ. So it looks like a worldwide evil rebellion against God is going to break out at some point. Now, contrary to what postmillennialists would teach, premillennialists believe it's going to take God's final judgment on the nations and the return of Christ for there to be a realized millennium on earth. Now, postmillennialists and premillennialists are really not that much different in their faith concerning final outcome. Postmillennialists believe Christ will rule the nations by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the work of the church. Premillennialists believe Christ will rule the nations by his physical return and presence. But the agreement is that Christ is Lord, and he will rule over the nations as promised in Scripture. But there is a significant difference concerning how the millennium is to be realized. Postmillennialism believes premillennialism is a loser theology. At this postmillennial conference, one speaker asked the question, how motivated are you going to be to build institutions, to build businesses, to build family, to be socially engaged if you believe there's going to be a great apostasy and the only thing that's going to save the world is the return of Christ? What was being implied is that only postmillennialism is motivating. Only postmillennialism inspires proper Christian stewardship. And in my work with conservative activists, there is an aversion to apocalyptic doomsday opinions because activists believe that it's going to discourage the troops. It will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's true that as soon as some people believe that we're in some sort of prophesied reign of Satan, they give up politically, they give up socially, they give up cultural engagement, and they run for the hills. I don't, because I'm motivated not by the success of America, but like the prophets of old, we preach the truth for the purpose of saving a remnant, to put the world on notice. Like the prophet Isaiah, he asked God, how long do I have to preach a message that will be rejected by the majority? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11, then I said, how long, O Lord? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitants, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning, like the terebinth or the oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is the stump. So by our preaching, by our proclaiming the authority of Christ over the nations, some will believe. That's our motivation. As the Apostle Paul explained his motivation in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. But it is true that many conservatives give up when they believe it's hopeless for America. Look at how they react when they believe that their state is hopeless. They pack up and move to a red state. They vote with their feet. So it's true in a sense that premillennial apocalyptic teaching can depress some people, but not true Christians who are motivated to glorify Christ. There is actually a revival of postmillennial theology among young evangelicals. Throughout most of the 20th century, with the rise of secularism and two world wars, postmillennialism became a discredited theology. The world didn't look like it would get better and better, and we would realize a millennium in America, as was taught by John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards. What a surprise. Even now, there is a revival of postmillennialism during probably one of the most spiritually dark periods in America's history. From my conversations with postmillennialists, here's what I believe is going on. Younger Christians, younger homeschool Christian families, want an optimistic message. They want to hear that we will push back against the darkness, that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. They're attracted to a we win theology. And this glorifies the power of Christ and the lordship of Christ. This is an exercise of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. And these Christians are tired of Satan running the show, especially since he is a defeated enemy. Satan would want nothing more than for Christians to believe that they're defeated and they can't do anything, to convince Christians that they need to stand down against a godless, satanic hegemony. You know, these postmillennial Christians are not merely trying to save this world, their present country, as some make accusation that this is what they're doing. They actually do want to glorify Christ and proclaim his lordship. Pastor John MacArthur, a premillennialist, recently responded to postmillennialism by saying, I have some news for you. We lose down here. Here is that clip.
Oh, guess what? We don't win down here. We lose. You ready for that? Oh, you were a post-millennialist. You thought we were just going to go waltzing into the kingdom as you took over the world. No, we lose here. Get it? They killed Jesus. They killed all the apostles. We're all going to be persecuted.
Well, we can appreciate that theology, that just as Christ suffered, we will also suffer. And our goal is not to save this sinful world, but to recruit people for the heavenly kingdom. But postmillennialists cringe at that theology. They believe we have a duty to exercise Christ's authority over this present age, that the will of God ought to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jeff Durbin with Apologia Ministries, postmillennial group, responded to MacArthur's message with the message, Christians will win down here. So actually, John MacArthur's statement needs some clarifying. Because even premillennialists believe we win down here. God allows this temporary takeover by the ungodly for the purpose of judging this world, but Jesus returns and wins down here. So that's a brief description of the controversy between post-mill and pre-mill. I now have a few closing observations. First, recognize that there are plenty of Christian nationalists who are not post-mill but pre-mill. In fact, I believe there are probably more Christian nationalists who are premillennial. You don't have to be postmillennial to be a Christian nationalist. The majority of pastors at the Turning Point USA Pastor Summit were Christian nationalists, but they were premillennial. Just because one believes in a coming apocalypse and a coming Antichrist and an apostasy doesn't mean one gives up on the culture. I mean, even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24, after teaching his disciples about the coming great tribulation, told his disciples to keep busy until he comes. There's enough motivation in heavenly rewards to keep the Christian active right up until the end. I will tell people who ask, I am a premillennialist with the optimism of a postmillennialist. Because even though for a little while, God will allow evil to take over the institutions, the church can still be very strong and victorious in the cultural grassroots. And as soon as the Antichrist takes over the governments of this world in a leftist globalism, his own house starts to collapse. My second observation is that postmillennialism is not as harmful as some think it is. No more harmful than premillennialism if it's overemphasized and misapplied. After the conference, I was wrestling with this question. Is postmillennialism a false heresy that will destroy the faith and testimony of the church? Or is it just a God-ordained oversight for the good of the church? Some see postmillennialism as a doctrine of demons sent to delude the church in the last days. But I appreciate postmillennial faith in the power of Christ and in the lordship of Christ. I appreciate their dedication to the lordship of Christ over the nations, something I believe mainstream evangelicalism has dropped the ball on. Like I said last week, when God's people enter the time of the revelation, I want the world to be hearing from the church the message of Christian nationalism, that Christ is to be Lord over the nations, not this pluralistic pagan antichrist system. And in the same way, at the end of this age, the world needs to be hearing that Christ wins, that he will bring in his millennial kingdom, that the kingdom of Satan will fail, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And to be on the right side of history, one needs to be on God's side. You know, even if postmillennialists get some of the details of future prophecy wrong, they still have the right message. And most of the postmillennialists I've talked with are not as dogmatic as a few of the leaders. Most of them are open to the possibility of a coming apocalypse and a premillennial return of Christ. One thing is for sure, if we are close to the end of this age, given the prophetic coming signs of the times, the entire Christian community will soon be on the same page. God will straighten out all of these minor disagreements. My final observation is what matters is what the Bible itself says. You know, the way I see it, post-millennialism is superimposing a systematic theological bias upon Scripture. I mean, there are plenty of verses about the reign of Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the government will rest upon his shoulders. There'll be no end to the increase of his government. Psalm 22, for the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. 1 Corinthians 15, 25, he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Yet those texts do not tell us how and when this will take place. For that, we need to leave those texts and look at the prophetic scriptures, which explain the timetable. And the weight of the prophecy is that the dominion of Christ over the nations will be realized when Christ returns to take possession of his inheritance. Revelation chapters 4 through 5. The problem is not that the Bible is so unclear that students of the Bible can justify multiple interpretations. The problem is the Bible reader himself. Bible students stumble in their interpretations because they wrongly believe it's good Bible study to superimpose eschatological systems on the scripture. For example, it would be very easy to discount the whole millennial age as merely a description of heaven itself, or as in the amillennial interpretation that these blessings are to be spiritual, not physical on earth. But an honest reading of Scripture says what it says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. They came to life is clearly resurrection language. There's no way around this. Revelation chapter 20 follows the prophecy of Ezekiel 37, where graves are opened and there's the resurrection of the saints followed by the rule of Christ on earth. You know, I understand the reasons for the Old Testament age. I understand the reasons for the New Testament age and the times of the Gentiles. But I don't understand the reasons for the coming age of the millennium. I don't even understand how it's going to work, how there are going to be resurrected persons living on this present earth. But regardless of my opinions and my reasoning, I'm compelled to stick with the scripture. But too many Christians believe that if they don't understand something in the Bible, they conform scripture to their reasoning. But I believe we need to suspend our reasoning and just go with what the Bible says. That's why I favor premillennialism. So I'm out of time. Did you get all that? This was some pretty deep theology. But where this world ends up is a very important subject. Thanks for listening. Keep in the word. Stand for the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.